Arizona Sports. The local sports leader. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset.
Halfway home on this Monday afternoon. Let's hit the reset button, get you caught up on everything going on in the world of sports. Mitch, take it away.
Here's what's the button?
Up? Bradley Beal, that's all we got to say.
Bradley Beal has apparently got that dog in him and out of him. What a way to end that season last night. Well, yesterday afternoon, I should say. A comeback against the Kings on Friday, spurred by Bradley Beal, and then an absolute pummeling of the Minnesota Timberwolves yesterday from start to finish. Bradley Beal had his handprints all over that one last night, Frank Vogel.
He just went bananas tonight. He went bananas. I mean, look, this guy's one of the best players in the world. Okay, and people see him as a good player. When he plays like this, I mean, he's one of the best players in the world.
I don't disagree with that. You know, it's the reason why somebody gave him $50 million a year.
Yeah.
He was on some bad teams in Washington. He came here, took a while to kind of figure out his role. And boy, but he could really do it all. He's been a catalyst. He's been a catalyst for them these last couple of weeks.
I don't know if there have been two more important quarters played by any singular Phoenix Suns player this season than the fourth quarter against the Kings on Friday and the first quarter on Sunday against Minnesota than what Bradley Beal did in those two quarters. I mean, it not only did it save the season, it rebirthed the season to a certain extent. And I think Bradley Beal deserves and is getting a lot of the credit for where this team is right now, because without those two quarters, I think we're talking about the Suns playing in a 7-8 play-in matchup tomorrow
against the
LA Lakers. And thank goodness we're not having that conversation.
Well, I was going to say, thanks to those two wins, and then a little help thanks to those... Ugh, why are we thanking the Lakers?
But we owe them a debt of gratitude. Thank you, Los Angeles. Thank you.
No debt of gratitude. Just thanks for giving us a week off.
Molto grazie.
That's what we'll say. Speaking of those other matchups that we have yet to talk about so far, Clippers are the 4 seed against the Dallas Mavericks 5 seed. Over in the East, you've got the Bucks 3 seed against the Pacers 6 seed. Cleveland Cavaliers 4 seed against the Orlando Magic.
Oh, had Cleveland figured that out?
Couldn't tell you.
What?
They tanked the last game of the season.
Yes. I wasn't sure what you were referring to.
The
yes.
Cavaliers tanked the last game of the season to not have the 2 seed and to get Orlando in a matchup.
Yeah, it worked. They got them.
Yeah, we'll see if Cleveland's actually up for the test, though, playing on the Magic. The playing games will yet to decide who the remaining seeds are. Lakers at Pelicans, Warriors at Kings, and then in the East, Hawks at the Bulls and Heat at the 76ers.
Yeah, the Heat 76ers game should be good. It's I wasn't aware they were doing this. They're doing all of the Western Conference games in one night, all the Eastern Conference games in the other. I thought they were doing it by seed. So tomorrow, it's 7-8 in the West. It's the 7-8 game in the first game, and then the 9-10 game in the second
game.
Then
they get equal rest.
Yeah, so tomorrow for a Western Conference, if you're a fan of Western Conference basketball, tomorrow becomes a must-watch doubleheader of bats to see who wins, who loses, and who's set up for Friday.
There is a lot of talk about what the Cavs did to make sure that they got that favorable matchup.
Oh, it wasn't just the Cavs. The Bucks kind of found their way out of the 2 seed, too.
I mean, when you're putting World Be Free out there with Mark Price and Brad Daugherty and John Hot Rod Williams.
Hey, you be nice. Those guys are actually good, Cavaliers.
I was going to say, they might want Reggie Miller to walk through that
door.
You
should have said, like, Ricky Davis or something like that.
Yeah. Ron Harper.
There you go.
The Suns, they're getting ready for the postseason, of course, but they're already preparing themselves for next season. Adrian Wojnarowski, one of the first to report. Gambo, you have since confirmed. Grayson Allen signing an extension with the Suns, 4 years, $70 million, a $206 million payroll projected for next year, and a nice little $104 million luxury tax bill.
Of course this news would come out on April 15th, right?
Yes.
Today's tax day.
Of course.
We had Grayson Allen on the show not too long ago, and we talked about this with him. We've said all along, back on January 17th, when people were talking about him in trade, that we said, in fact, that they're going to keep him. Don't be surprised if they keep him. It's just money. You just have to pay the tax. And so that's what they're going to do. They're just going to pay the tax. It's going to be a heavy tax, but they're able to keep Grayson Allen.
It's funny when you talk about this, they really had no choice. And I know they did have a choice. They could have chosen not to pay it and go even deeper in the luxury tax. But when you look at how the roster is constructed, what they need, and what they need to do to keep their options open, Matt Ishbia really didn't have a choice here. And he really doesn't have much of a choice with Royce O'Neal either. You need these players around. You need to keep them. You need to pay mm-hmm. them. And you need to just thank goodness the Suns have an owner who's willing to dig so deep, because without it, they would have been screwed.
When they sign Royce O'Neal, they will end up paying over $200 million in tax, which will be the highest anybody has ever paid. They're going to build around their core six. Their top three guys, the big three, and then Nurkic, Allen, and Royce O'Neal. They're going to build around those core six guys.
Interesting to see how it pays out or pans out for next year. Let's switch to the Diamond, because the Diamondbacks are fresh off of a couple of wins over the St. Louis Cardinals. They have another NL Central foe, I should say, coming up. But real quick, Gambo, you pointed this out in your email, so I'll defer this to you. Paul Goldschmidt. Did he just have his last at-bat at Chase Field?
It was Burnsy.
That was actually my email.
That was you.
And I was watching the broadcast mm-hmm. yesterday, and I'll give credit to Steve Berthume and Bob Brenly, because Steve Berthume, I think it was the eighth inning, he said, look, I don't know anything here, but given that he's 37 years old, given that this is the final year of his contract, you do have to wonder if we're looking at Paul Goldschmidt's last at-bat in Chase Field. And I got to admit, because Bert said that, I stopped. I was on the computer doing something Suns, and I looked up, and I'm like, I want to watch this. Because you talk about a debt of gratitude. You know, Paul Goldschmidt has certainly earned that for what he did with the Diamondbacks and for the Diamondbacks all those years. I think Bert's on to say it might very well be the last Chase Field at bat we saw
this
from Goldie.
This is his sixth season with St. Louis. Can you believe that?
Hard to believe. That is very hard to believe.
This is his sixth season. His first was 2019. He had 25 homers last year and drove in 80 runs. I think he could still play for somebody, but you never know. I mean, it was a great point by those guys.
It's a question whether he'd want to. He's made more money than he'll ever know what to do with, right? I just don't know. I don't know Paul well enough to know what he'd want to do, but it's an interesting thought.
I'm going to pivot back to basketball, because this literally is just now being reported by both Woj and Shams Charania. 11 of the final 12 USA Olympic roster have been announced. We shouldn't be surprised. Devin Booker and Kevin Durant among that bunch. Just going to read the rest of the names, because it's
a who's who.
Steph Curry, LeBron James, Jason Tatum, Joel Embiid, Tyrese Halliburton, Anthony Edwards, Jrue Holiday, Bam Adebayo, and Anthony Davis, with one spot left to fill.
So your Olympic team is set. Devin Booker and Kevin Durant are both on it.
Remember when the Suns lost to Milwaukee and Booker had to get on the plane with two of those guys?
With Chris Middleton and Drew.
And Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton.
So what do you talk about?
I'll be like, can I move seats? This person's annoying next to me. Can I move seats? I'm sorry, so we only have a window available. I'll take it.
That's when you put on the sleep mask and the big headphones and everything about you.
What's
on the plane?
What's the deal with airline food?
Go away. Right. Yeah. Leave me alone.
All right, back to baseball. This was big, actually, that news that came down a couple of hours ago. Somewhat unexpected. John Sterling, the longtime voice of Yankees baseball on the radio, effective today, retiring from that position.
He's 85 years old.
Quote, I am a very blessed human being. I've been able to do what I wanted, broadcasting for 64 years. As a little boy growing up in New York as a Yankees fan, I was able to broadcast the Yankees for 36 years. All to my benefit, I leave very, very happy. I look forward to seeing everyone again on Saturday.
He was an institution in New York.
Yeah, very
institution.
Unusual that it would happen with little advanced warning and just in the middle of this. I hope everything's okay, and I'll just leave it at that, because that's a very unusual situation.
There was a guy, I can't remember his name. I don't know much. The guy that always would do the announcements, Bob Shepard was the guy's name. And he was like 95 years old. He was still,
and now batting number two, Derek Jeter.
Like
Jeter. Number two.
Right. And he did it. Now, even after he retired, like Jeter still had his voice introduce him for all those years.
Yeah, they still play the tape. Yeah.
I wouldn't want to leave Bob Shepard's voice either. We'll close with some college basketball news that we haven't gotten to chat about yet. Two new homes for two different point guards. Frankie Collins going to TCU. Kylan Boswell going to, and I'm just looking over at Lauren to see how she's reacting, Illinois to finish out their basketball careers.
He's all yours?
First on Frankie Collins, you're going to play them next year.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to play them.
At least
you're
twice.
Now in their conference.
Yeah.
So, and as far as Boswell, I wasn't a big fan of his. I was not a big
fan.
I was
this?
Not a big fan.
Are you happy about this?
We need a point guard. We don't have one.
Did you get one?
Yeah, I think in our system he'll work. He's also a native of Champaign, Illinois.
That's true.
And
that
so
true.
Yeah. He's heading back home.
Okay,
home.
Utmost confidence out of Lauren. That's your 4
Who
o'clock
says
reset.
You can't go home?
You can, apparently. You
Bon Jovi.
Can.
That was Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi said you can't go home.
Travel the world, and a matter of fact.
No matter the song, who says you can't go home?
Text us your thoughts on the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, think back to Christmas Day. Think back to how much that Suns game sucked. Think about every Suns game since then. You might be surprised by the numbers of the Phoenix Suns, and we'll tell you why. Next on the Burns and Gambo show.
Hey, it's Wolf. If the Phoenix Suns are going to make a deep playoff run, who's going to need to step up? We'll tell you tomorrow at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
Jaden Hardy will dribble it across the timeline and likely dribble the rest of the 5 seconds on the clock out. And that will do it. The Mavericks win it tonight, 128-114, the final score. And Dallas improves to 18-12 on the season. The Suns have lost their third straight to fall to 14-15 and back under 500.
Wait, why are we playing the play-by-play call of that disastrous Christmas Day game between the Mavs and the Suns? You know what? You whistle as poorly as you sing.
Oh, oh man.
I'm sorry, but it's not much better when you whistle. God, seriously, is any song ever more associated with a movie than this one? Like, I can't think of anything but Top Gun Maverick.
In general, a song associated with a movie?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's lots. Like,
Don't You Forget About Me.
Okay, that's Don't you're right. You. Like, think about that movie. Think about
My
The Breakfast
Heart Will
Club.
Go On.
Forget about me.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
But this one was written for the movie.
Dumb question. You're right. Dumb question.
Lauren's
dumb
right. Question. Lauren's
not
right.
A dumb
there,
question.
There are lots of songs that when you just hear the song, you go, oh, that movie. I just hear this movie. And
no
I think
dumb
of the,
questions. Just dumb. Never
people
mind.
Who ask them. Go ahead, Mitch. Say it. That's fine.
I agree. The Breakfast Club
about
one
me from Simple Minds is. Mm-hmm. Why are we playing that? Because the Phoenix Suns have been a different team since that moment. And it's hard to...
Hot garbage!
It's hard
hot
to,
garbage!
That's right, that was hot garbage night, wasn't
hot
it?
Hot garbage!
It's hard to digest this, and it's hard to process this.
Kevin Durant's unhappy with his team. Remember that?
Oh, of course! It was a disaster! Mm-hmm. It was all like, oh man, this is a mess. And everybody was like, be patient. They gotta get their guys back. Everything's gotta happen. All of that stuff. Since December 28th, the Phoenix Suns are 34-18. That's a .654 winning percentage. Extrapolated out over a full season, I believe that puts them in the top three in the NBA's Western Conference. I believe. They're 7th in offensive rating. They're 10th in defensive rating. They're 7th in net rating. In other
top
words,
10.
Since basically they got their butts kicked by Dallas on national TV
hot
on
garbage.
Christmas night, and they were hot garbage by Stephen A. Smith, they have been one of the best teams in the NBA since that moment. So why does it not feel like that? Can you explain that to me? Can you explain?
Because you expected even more.
Why that feels fake, even though I know it's not. It's very real. Why does that not feel correct?
There's two things to look at here. One, you really do need to take into account how freaking tough the West is. The Golden State Warriors are the greatest number 10 seed in the history of the game.
Indeed.
No 10 seed has ever had more wins than Golden State. The Phoenix Suns actually had more wins this year than they did last year. So there's this seeding thing that plays, like, I don't want to say it plays tricks on your brain, but there's this seeding thing like, oh, they're the 6 seed. They were fighting to be a 7 seed. And how can there be this many teams? Those teams weren't better than them by that much. Everything was kind of close. So there's this, again, you look at the seed and you kind of feel like, the seed is one thing compared to the record being another thing.
Before you get to the other point that you were going to make, I just want to bring this up. Had the Suns finished with 49 wins a year ago, they'd be the 3 seed in the NBA's Western Conference. Last year, 49 wins would have been good enough for the 3 seed. This year, it's good enough right. for the 6.
But it also doesn't feel well because there was so many times this team burned you as a fan. The Memphis game, the San Antonio game, the Clipper game, the Portland game. Like all of these games where you're like, come on, like really? They made it harder to believe in them. So I think that, so that's a factor too. Like we could say, you know, if you've got the schedule after the after Christmas Day, there was still like three or four bad losses.
No, see, that's exactly where my, it's funny you read my mind, because that's exactly where, because some of those games happened before Christmas. Let's run through some of the games after Christmas that might have caused us to doubt this team and would have made that number that I just read off about their record not feel real. Let's talk about them going to the Clippers and getting blown out 138-111. Now, they didn't have everybody for that game, but that game happened. Let's talk about Memphis. Mm. They didn't have everybody for that game, but they lost at home to Memphis 121-115.
Right.
How does something like that happen? Let's talk about blown fourth quarter leads against Indiana and Orlando as part of that road trip. Remember those? That was another reason.
Was Indiana without Halliburton?
I believe Indiana was without Halliburton that night. Let me double check just to be sure. I'm pretty sure you are absolutely correct. The Suns, well, yeah, Pascal Siakam was the leading scorer that night. They didn't have Tyrese Halliburton right. tonight. Nope, they didn't have him. Let's talk about, I'm just kind of looking off the fly here. Let's talk about losing to the Houston Rockets 114-110. How did that happen, right?
Houston got hot and played good basketball at the end for a while. They were like 10 in a row. But
you
okay.
lost two games to the Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
To the Houston Rockets. Let's talk about, I'm scrolling. Let's talk about San Antonio with Victor Wembanyama.
That's what Denver's talking about right now, because they would have been a number one seed if they didn't lose to San Antonio the other day.
So all of the loss that, for me, was one of the worst of the bunch. Losing to Milwaukee 140-129. Without Giannis. And they just torched them three in that game. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you're right. That's what it is. It's that even though overall you look back from 30,000 feet and you say, man, the record was good and the offensive rating was good and the defensive rating was good, we remember the bad. I think we tend to remember the bad more than we remember the good.
What happened to good vibes?
It's human nature. It's human nature to go, yeah, but like even during this 7-3 stretch, we were talking about it earlier in the show. They went 7-3 against one of the toughest schedules we've seen.
How did you lose to the Clippers without Harden and Kawhi?
And seriously, that's it. How did you lose? How did you get your teeth kicked into the Clippers without Kawhi and Harden? How did you barely beat them the night before when they weren't playing seven of their guys? Those are the things that tend to stand out because you remember how bad you felt after they lost those games, right?
Yes.
It's just easier to remember that than I think that kind of shades your perception a little bit.
But man, you do got to look into how hard this West has been all year long. And, you know, you feel like you could take your foot off against some, even San Antonio and Houston, as bad as those teams were, they played hard. They played hard.
Yeah, they did. But the Suns are here now. They're the sixth seed now, and they get the Minnesota Timberwolves in the first round, and we're going to play a commercial break so Gambo will stop. He'll keep whistling. I'll just walk out the door, and he'll just be whistling in here by himself. Enter to win an exclusive NFL draft experience. Text the word DRAFT to 620-620. Enter for the chance to win a reserved table and $200 in food and beverage credit at Flanker's Kitchen and Sports Bar inside the BetMGM Sportsbook, all while having a front row seat at our live broadcast as we await the Cardinals' first pick. Text the word DRAFT to 620-620 right now. Grayson Allen is getting his extension. Who's next? I mean, we all know who's next. The question is, how much is it going to cost next on the Burns and Gambo Show?
I got a lot of problems with you people.
Hey, everybody, Dan Bickley here, and the Cub are in town to face off against our Diamondbacks. We'll tell you all about it starting at 6 a.m. tomorrow on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Field drives, feeds Allen, right wing three, up and in for Grayson Allen. He hit another one. He's 3-for-3 from deep. 18 points for Allen, and the Suns are back up 15, 97-82 with 9:15 to go.
Part one of It Ain't My Money dropped today. Part two of It Ain't My Money is going to be sometime soon, we hope, with Royce O'Neal. But today,
It Ain't My Money.
Was that not the reaction? All right, It Ain't My Money.
Yeah.
You know, and not that means it's money poorly spent, because it's not. We're going to go into all the reasons why it's money well spent. But when you start talking about re-signing Grayson Allen, which happened today, the luxury tax implications of re-signing Grayson Allen, which are enormous, the luxury tax implications of re-signing Royce O'Neal, which will blow your mind, Gambo will give you those numbers in a minute, at some point you do kind of just to rationalize it, you kind of say, hey, look, thank goodness we have an owner who's willing to spend this kind of money. Name my money. You know, right. You want to spend it? Go spend it, man, because that's the thing. Thank goodness you're endowed with this kind of money that you can spend it on this basketball team, because they really didn't have much of a choice but to bring
no choice
on. They had to do
no,
this.
No, they kind of pigeonholed themselves. They put themselves into this corner by being above the second apron that really limited what they were going to do. Now, the great thing that was in their favor was that they had the bird rights to Grayson Allen, and they also, by trading for Royce O'Neal at the time they did it, they also got Royce O'Neal's bird rights. What the bird rights allowed you to do, for people that don't really understand the bird rights, I think a lot of you do, some don't, it allows you to sign a player that's on your roster and exceed the salary cap. Yes. It doesn't matter. You can sign him because there's a salary cap and his luxury tax. But if you have his bird rights, you can exceed that cap and still sign a guy. If you don't have his bird rights, well then you can't exceed. If you're over the cap, you can't sign the guy. Like they can't go out and sign a free agent right now to a 3-year, $30 million contract. They can't do that. But they can give Grayson Allen $70 million. But could they go sign a regular free agent? Hey, you know, we like that backup point guard. He's available. Give him 3 years and $30 million. They can't do that because they don't have his bird rights and they're over the cap.
And that's why when Bobby Marks was on with us earlier today.
No, because you basically had, I always equated it to kind of going to the buffet line, right? Like when and the buffet line's closing at midnight and you get there at 11:45, man, you better eat everything you can that's in front of you. I just thought basically what Phoenix has done, certainly starting with the Beal trade last June, they knew they had a year to basically, either you had two choices, get your finances in order, or you could basically push the limit and do as much as you can before some of these harsher restrictions. Because the reality is Bradley Beal and Grayson Allen would not be on this roster right now if we were in July of 2024, because of where these restrictions are. So I'm not surprised.
So here are the numbers as they stand right now.
Okay.
And you're going to tell everybody how they're going to change when Royce O'Neal is going to get extended.
Okay. I will. Yes.
Before Grayson Allen's 4-year, $70 million contract extension, which has not been officially announced, but we expect that it will be, the Suns team salary was $190 million. Now it's at $206 million. Okay. Post-extension. The tax penalty was $41 million for the Suns. Now it's at $104 million.
Okay, and keep that number in mind. Right now it's $104 million. I've got very interesting news for you on that.
Well, let's get right into it because those are the two big. With the team salary, the basically the payroll, okay, here's how it's going up next year. The tax penalty, here's the team payroll is going up by $16 million.
Yes.
The tax penalty is going up by nearly just under $60 million next year.
This does not take into account re-signing Royce O'Neal, which is their next biggest priority. That's their next biggest priority, and you're looking at about a $14 million per year deal on a multi-year contract for Royce O'Neal. We're talking 3 to 4 years. He could get up to 5, but you're talking about 3-4 years, probably about a $14 million. This does not take into account re-signing Josh Okogie or bringing back Bol Bol if they're able to do that on 120% of his salary. When they fill out the roster, and if they do re-sign Royce O'Neal, you are looking at Matt Ishbia paying a tax of over $200 million. Over $200 million in tax.
Just in tax.
Just in tax.
Just in tax. And that's on top of the, and I'm just going to ballpark it here, $220 million, give or take, that he'll be spending on the payroll. So now you're talking about an all-in number next year of Matt Ishbia, tax plus payroll, of about $420 million for the Phoenix Suns, give or take. That's that's insane. That's a
yes.
Like Grayson Allen next year is costing Matt Ishbia what, 16 plus 63 is basically $80 million. $80 million next year for Grayson Allen. Tax plus salary, 1 year, it's costing Matt Ishbia $80 million for Grayson Allen next year.
I remember, and I don't know how to go back on Twitter timeline, so I'm going to try to find it, though. I remember when the Suns were looking to sign Kevin Durant when Robert Sarver still owned the team. And I remember reporting at that time that the Suns were willing to go over, you know, to pay the tax to get Kevin Durant here. And that was in the summer of 2022. So 22?
Summer 2022.
Summer 2022. And I remember my reports at that time were that the Suns were willing to go to $30, $40, $50 million over and pay that tax to get Kevin Durant at that time. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, I remember
when I reported that.
Yeah.
And now we're talking about a guy paying $200 million, over $200 million in tax.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question that you know, Matt Ishbia believes in this team, that the core guys that they have, and there's six core guys that they want to build around and fill out the roster in other ways, but they do believe in this team. They do. They believe in it. Were they pigeonholed in some way? Sure. Because if you don't bring back Grayson Allen and Royce O'Neal, it's not like you could replace them with anybody outside of veteran minimum guys.
Nope, not at all. Not at all. And not only that, but you re-sign those guys because at some point, and we hate to be thinking about this now, but at some point a year from now, 2 years from now, you're going to want salaries like Grayson Allen on your roster so you can trade them for two guys, right? So,
right. Hey,
we need to trade Grayson Allen and we need to get these two guys in exchange. You don't have a ton of salaries on your roster that you can do that with. So, and that's kind of why Bobby Marks said you kind of had to keep Allen.
You know, when you made the commitment to get Kevin last February and then did the Bradley Beal trade and did, you know, your some other things in the offseason with, you know, certainly with Nurkic and then go out and get Grayson, you were committed to this group here. And it gives you a player that if you want it for a win now team, and certainly if you had to pivot, you know, let's say maybe a year from now, if that's what you wanted to,
that's why he wasn't surprised by it.
No, not at all. I just thought it was a win-win for both teams. You know, Grayson, you guys know, has played his best year that he's been in the league so far. The unknown of free agency here, I think for Phoenix's perspective, it just made all the sense in the world because, you lose him, you basically have the minimum exception to go out and replace him. And, ownership has gone all in with this roster, that you're going to see it through.
And I'll credit Bobby for kind of bringing us back to home base here to talk about this. We can sit here and talk about the luxury tax and the money and it's not my money and all of those jokes. Grayson Allen has had a hell of a year with the Phoenix
Suns.
Hell
of a year.
And I don't know where this team would be without him. So I think it was probably wrong of me as the driver of this show to take us off in this direction where we're just focused on the money.
And not the player.
And just the luxury tax. And because that's not fair.
But you almost can't believe that they're going to pay a $200 million tax. Because that's the first part. Like, wow, they got $200 million at a tax.
Mm-hmm. But, and you're right, and that's why I went there, because the numbers are just, especially when you need $200 million. But Grayson Allen himself has been a revelation. The Suns are his fourth team in 6 years.
Right.
He's hopped around. It's taken him a while. And you talk about no player more than him benefiting from all the attention that Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, and Kevin Durant get. It's Grayson Allen. He just look after look after look. It's open. It's there. He takes it. He leads the NBA in three-point percentage.
He's been a great pro.
He's earned this. I mean, he's absolutely deserved this. He's been a great fit for the Suns. But when the Royce O'Neal thing's and you say it will happen, the Royce O'Neal thing's gonna happen.
It's their priority.
Okay.
Now, are going to be other suitors for him.
Okay. Okay. Good phrasing.
So it will be more difficult. It will be more difficult to get Royce done, but it is their priority right now to get that done. But again, I do think that, you know, because there's going to be other suitors. There's going to be other teams that are going to want Royce O'Neal. So it will be interesting, but I think the Suns are going to do everything they can to try to keep him.
We've got the Burns and Gambo Show podcast. You could subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android. You won't miss any of our show. The Burns and Gambo Show is brought to you by Carol Has the Buyers, your home sold guaranteed realty. When we come back, what is next for the Arizona Coyotes? Gambo's got the latest. We'll tell you next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Social Poll Update. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
Sometimes you ask a question to the people in these poll questions where you're just curious to see how many people say the thing you're not expecting them to say. That to me is the whole appeal of this poll question. It's like, how many people are going to say the not so obvious answer to this? Mitch, I'm stepping on your toes, but what do you got?
No, I think you're setting it up beautifully. I do have something I want to add in after the poll question. Okay, I'll get to that after.
Good.
So the poll question, not to spoil your perfectly staged setup. The question is, who should be a bigger priority for the Suns to re-sign for next season? This playing off the Grayson Allen signing today. The options are Royce O'Neal or Bol Bol.
Now, I can't imagine anybody who would say anybody other than Royce O'Neal.
Right, but there are.
But, Mitch, how many? I ask you.
20% say Bobo.
Yeah, I think it went down. I'm guessing it went down a little bit. Put me down for like 19% saying Bobo.
You guys are so pessimistic. 25%.
It went up. Wasn't it 24 when we rolled this out?
It was around the same area.
Okay.
If anything, it might have gone down a singular percentage.
Okay.
But yes, to your point, this is a very obvious answer question, but you're curious what the latter has to say.
A quarter of our audience thinks it's more important to bring back Bull Ball than Rice O'Neal. And I say our audience, you know, our audience on Twitter might be a little different than our audience here.
He's a very valuable guy. He's never made any money in the league, and the Suns could only offer him 120% of his current contract, which is a vet minimum contract. Talk about 3.2, 3.3 is the most that they can offer him. If somebody wants to pay him more, I can't imagine he doesn't take it since he's never made the big NBA money.
All right, what's the thing you wanted to tack on here?
This is absolutely zero surprise, but the Women's National Basketball Association draft is happening right now, and it is official. Caitlin Clark taken number one overall
number
by
one.
The Indiana Fever.
The Indiana Fever.
Congratulations.
The GOAT versus the Rook.
Yeah, what's the date of that Mercury Fever game again?
Versus the Rook.
Yeah, when is that? Do you know?
I don't know. I'm thinking July.
Okay. Tarasi versus Caitlin Clark.
GOAT versus the Rook.
It's funny. I type in Mercury Fever and it auto adds thermometers. So clearly we're working with the wrong area.
Sends you right to Amazon so you can buy a thermometer for the baby at home, Mitch, which you don't
have. Fever.
Yeah. I'm seeing June 30th.
June 30th?
June 30th.
All right. All right. Good for her. Congratulations. That's exciting. I saw, you know, they were walking in and getting ready for the draft. A big moment. We'll see if those TV ratings.
The future
translate.
Of Indiana basketball.
That's right. Tyrese Halliburton and Caitlin Clark wearing their Indiana jerseys.
I guarantee there's an all-star game with both of them in it in a contest. Tyrese and Caitlin Clark against somebody.
Ionescu and Steph Curry.
Those two, a game of two on two against somebody.
The future of the Coyotes is, there is no future. I was going to say it's not as bright, but there is no future. You believe the press conference will be on Friday is what you're anticipating to make this official, even though we all know it's happening now. The Coyotes' final game as the organization will take place on Wednesday night at home.
Yeah, the Coyotes were obviously very hopeful that the season would end and then all of this would come out and be done. But, you know, obviously we broke it last on April 5th that this was going to happen. And it's been crazy ever since then with all the information coming out. But yes, the Coyotes are relocating to Salt Lake City. Alex Morello, the owner of the Coyotes, was convinced by Gary Bettman that this was the right thing to do. That Gary Bettman did not want to, you know, take the chance that this was going to take 4, 5, 6 years to get an arena built. There was no real certainty that they'd be able to play in 27 at that arena. There was no certainty they're going to win the land bid. There's no certainties there. So Bettman eventually convinced Morello to let the team go and sell it for $1.2 billion. $1 billion will go to Morello. $200 million will be distributed to the NHL teams as a relocation fee. And Alex Morello does have the exclusive right.
This is the key part. The exclusive right
to reactivate the franchise within 5 years and trigger an expansion draft if he's able to build an arena.
So build an arena sometime in the next 5 years, and the organization is reactivated for you. No other person/entity can run an NHL franchise in the Phoenix area for the next 5 years as long as you can get an arena built. So now, if you're a hockey fan in the Valley, if you're a fan of just having all four major sports teams in the Valley, this now kind of brings us to the part of the program where we have to ask our faith and our trust in the ability of Alex Morello and the city of Phoenix and everybody to get this done. Because now, okay, you can have hockey back. It's there, but you have to check a lot of boxes on the to-do list. You have to get a lot of things done. You have to buy the land. You have to prepare the land. You might have to go to the city of Phoenix and ask them to give you kind of a special tax so you can make some of that money back. All of these things that have been so difficult to do for the last 15 years around here, I'm having a hard time believing they're going to get done in the next five to trigger this reactivation clause and get the Coyotes back.
I understand, but and you know, everything that I've been reporting since Friday, everything that I've been reporting since April 5th on this, every indication I'm getting is that they fully intend to win the land bid, that they fully intend to go out there and win that bid and get that land. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you'll be able to build an arena on
it. One step. That's just one. It's one step.
But without it, it's done. Like, without it, okay, you go auction June 27th, you get outbid, it's over. Like, it's done. It's over.
Yeah.
Now, can somebody come to Alex Morello in 2 years and say, hey, you know what? I think I can get an arena built. Why don't you, you know, why don't you give up your negotiating rights so I can do this? And maybe that happens. Maybe it's a money exchange or something like that. I don't know. But nobody else can do it at this time. But if the only thing to focus on right now is the land auction. If he wins the land auction, yeah, then maybe hockey will come back. If he doesn't win the land auction, then there's no chance. There's no chance that it's coming back anytime soon.
I agree. I mean, it's got to start there. It's just, having watched this drama unfold for the last decade and a half, and I know you've covered this drama unfolding for the last decade and a half, I'm skeptical. And I think I'm understandably so. I think a lot of Coyote fans, a lot of fans in general, would be understandably skeptical that in Tempe, you were going to build a thing on a landfill, and you couldn't talk them into that, right? Like, you were going to take...
They ran a terrible campaign.
A city dump and turn it into an arena, and the whole city said no, they don't want to do
Kansas
it.
The Kansas City Chiefs got voted. They just voted no on the Kansas City Chiefs.
The
no vote is the popular vote most times. It is, so you really got to... You know, because it's easy to say no. People just want to say no to everything. Yeah. They don't want to just say yes. So it's easier to say no in a vote than it is to say yes in a vote. The Chiefs just lost a vote. Uh-huh. The Kansas City Chiefs.
So you add this all up, and not knowing what the future is going to hold, but understanding, you know, if we're going to get hockey back. On Wednesday, there's this club. 13 cities in the United States that have all four. On Wednesday night, we're out of the club. We lose our hockey team. We're done, and we're out of the club. It's down to 12 cities now that have all four professional franchises. And that is going to be the get-in price for that game at Mullet Arena is through the roof. It's like $1,200 a ticket. It's probably only going to go up. It's going to be a very sentimental night. It's going to be a very emotional night. We've usually added teams around here. We don't lose teams around here.
No, it's the first time, right?
So kind of like processing all that is going to be very, very strange. And you just... Look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm some diehard crazy hockey fan. I'm not. I feel really bad for the people who are. You know, for the people who believed in this team right up until the end and now are kind of stuck in that wasteland of what are the next 5 years going to look like, and can Alex Morello check all these boxes and get this thing done?
A lot of people that just, you know, second incomes, you know, just going to the arena and, you know, selling things or being like, I do feel bad for a lot of those people and all the fans, the diehard fans that, you know, were tugging at the purse strings here, the heartstrings here, that you're losing the team that you've grown up rooting for.
We've got the Burns and Gambo Show podcast. You can subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android. It works like your favorite podcast. You'll never miss any of the show. The Burns and Gambo Show podcast brought to you by Carol Has the Buyers, your home sold, guaranteed realty. Phoenix Suns are the sixth seed in the West. Their matchup, whether they're the favorites, are they going to win? We'll talk about all of it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.